Well, first of all, happy St. Paddy's Day. The deacon, he said, if I don't acknowledge it, our friendship is over. So there you go. So it's St. Patrick's Day, and we thank God for the gift of his life and the inspiration that he still provides the world. There's a lot to say about the readings this morning, and I want to begin with the image of a dunk tank. I don't know where this came from, but it's a way to typically to amuse ourselves, to make a little money. And when you're a priest and you have a Catholic school in town, you get put in the dunk tank early and often. And it's a traumatizing experience. Usually it's a day like today. It's about 25 degrees with a stiff wind. And every time you fall in, well, what happens, and this is literally true, is that every time somebody throws the ball, your body starts to anticipate it. And it gets tense because it feels like it's going to go in. And then, of course, they miss. And then you relax for a moment. And by the end of it, you have no bodily control between the cold water and hypothermia. You have to wait for a while even to get in the car and drive home. You're just shot. Your nerves are shot. Your body is worthless. And anyway, this image comes to mind because I was watching some of the high school last week, the girls at the Rush Center, and now this weekend, the boys down at the Cole Center. And sometimes when you're nervous, you don't perform at your best level. And the perfect coach, there's no such thing, but the best coach can get, well, the kids to kind of play with a certain intensity, but not so tied tight that they can't do their best. They can relax. And so God is the best coach. He's going to get our best. That's why in the Old Testament it said that God is a jealous God. He knows how to motivate, inspire, not put pressure and make us nervous, but certainly to get our best. And that's what we want to give him, but it takes his tactics and his way. And so what are God's ways to get us to live at the optimal level, to become the best person we can be? Number one is because of sin, the wages of sin are death. So now we have a limited amount of time. And that provides a certain urgency to get out of bed and get going, because we should enjoy each season of our life, but they're always passing. Only for a little while, we in the springtime are youth, then the summertime when we're at the full expression of our powers. Then you get to the autumn, where that's where I'm at now, things start to kind of decline. And then the winter time, which is a preparation for eternal life. It's the letting go of the things that we enjoyed, but they were never ours. They were always God's. An urgency to get out of bed, and that's a good thing because we have a tendency to procrastinate. We can be really lazy. Think about when you get up in the morning. Somebody designed this thing called a snooze bar. It gives you 9 minutes, just enough to fall back into REM sleep. And you're like, oh, I don't know who came up with this idea. I put my alarm clock in the other room. So the only way I can turn it off is to get out of bed. And this is an old trick. And then turn it off and give the first moment to God. If you can conquer yourself at the beginning of the day, it sets a good precedent for the rest of the day. Try to kneel down and say, thank you, Jesus, for another day. Help me to see the good in others, to be a good listener, to serve, and give me enough grace so that I can be a witness to your joy. It's a good way to start the day, and it keeps us from becoming lazy. We only have so much time. We don't want to burn it on things that are a waste, things that don't give life but rob us of our happiness. One of the best talks I ever heard was our rector when I was in the seminary. He was talking about people that get burned out, priests in particular. We work hard and we get bitter and jaded. That happened to me as soon as I came to Wausau. But anyway, this guy, he said that he wasn't so worried about burnout. He was worried about priests with bed sores. Guys that all they did was sleep, and they were lazy, listless, and lethargic. One way that God motivates us is the old, well, it comes from the Knights of Columbus. Tempus fugit, memento mori. Time flies. Remember that we're going to die. Let's enjoy the life. Let's use it well. Let's serve others the way Christ serves us, with generosity. God motivates us that. And the second way is that our hour is coming. When Christ, when his hour came, he embraced it. For this hour, for this he came into the world to give his life. What is that hour? It's the moment that we realize that we're not in charge. It can come in various forms. It can come in a prognosis of, I'm sick. It might be a terminal illness like cancer. Maybe our marriage is failing. Something that reminds us that we're not in charge. And that's a hard thing for us to accept. That can make us sad or mean, or it can make us kind. You know, yesterday, the Columbus boys from Marshfield, they won the state title. Last year, Newman beat them, and they won it. I know a lot of those kids from my years. They were little when I started, and now they're big, and now they're moving on. The coach was here for Mass a couple weeks ago and said that if I could pray him to a state title, he'd pay me 10 bucks. So I got that going for us, which is nice. But anyway, last November, his wife and his oldest, Emmett, who's a senior, they were visiting a college, and then somebody crossed the center line and hit them head on. They should have both died that day, but they didn't. Their hour came, and it shook everything. Everything that they thought and took for granted, all that was shifted. The whole community prayed, and somehow by God's grace, that kid scored 31 points yesterday, and the mom is, well, she's been through 5 surgeries, but she's recovering too. Our hour will come. It reminds us we're not in charge. Can we accept that in faith? Not that God is a punishing God, but he permits things because his goal is to save us. No matter what we go through, the goal never changes. To get to heaven, it's not here. We're never going to have everything that we want, and nor do we need it, because it's promised in another place, a place that is safe and sound, where God is preparing for us. We, all of us, are going to be reminded of things, of how we're motivated by a God who's like a good coach. He knows how to wake us up and to focus us on the things that matter. I've told this story before, but about the prodigal son, but a modern version, a kid that was angry, a senior in high school, and said, "Dad, I'm just, one more time and I'm done." The proverbial straw breaks the camel's back. They argue. The kid packs his stuff and leaves. They ain't coming back because he's sick and tired of it. Then one day, as he gets older, the years pass, he thinks about getting married, and what a travesty it would be for his kids not to meet their grandpa. So he writes a letter, "Dear Dad, a long time ago, I said some rash things, and now I'm sorry. I'd like to see you again, but I'd accept if you'd rather not. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to ride home on the bus, and if you'd like to see me, just would you tie a red ribbon at one of the apple trees at the bottom of the hill? If I see a red ribbon, I'll get off the bus. If I don't, I'll accept the circumstances of what I did." He signs the letter, seals it, sends it, waits a couple weeks, gets on the bus. He's riding out there, and he is nervous. And there's an older guy, a stranger, sees him, and he says, "Are you okay? You seem like you're upset." Well, this young guy tells the whole story, and the old man is very moved. He says, "I'll pray for you. I hope it has a happy ending." They go back to their separate lives until they get, well, really close, and the young guy turns to the old man and says, Could you please watch and just tell me what you see?" The old man is honored. He says, "Of course I can." So the old man is watching out the window, and the young man is watching his expression. And all of a sudden, a tear, and then another one, and then he starts to kind of quietly sob. The young man says, I knew it. "You didn't see a red ribbon, did you?" And the old man says, No. "No, you got it completely wrong. There's a red ribbon tied in every apple tree in that orchard. Because the Father's love never changes. And that's how Jesus was able to do it. He knew that his Father loved him. He accepted that. He was emboldened by that. Do you and I know that? How much his Father loves us? The confessional is a place of that healing, of that, well, God accepting our brokenness, teaching us through it, showing us like a good coach that our limitations can become a blessing and not a curse. Long time ago, when I was at Assumption High School, I coached 1 year. I was the JV basketball coach. We had a winning record somehow, but when you're JV coach, you're assistant to the varsity. We went to state, and there we were in the Kohl Center. I was on the sideline, and I was watching the guys. And they were all nervous as a cat. And that morning, they forgot it was a Friday in Lent, and they all ate bacon. We lost on a last-second three-pointer. Anyway, but watching these guys perform, there was one who stood out. I remember his name, Caleb. He wasn't nervous at all. He could have been playing in the backyard. It didn't bother him one bit. That is a rare person. But that can be you and me. If we accept God's grace, we'll be more peaceful. If we accept his mercy, we'll be more forgiving. If we accept his Son, will become a lot like him. This is how God motivates. It's how he teaches. It's how he shows us the way home to heaven.